I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The next speaker at the Barrows Conservation Lecture Series at the Cincinnati Zoo is Dr. M. Sanyon. His talk is titled, Saving Earth in the Age of Man. In a world of 7 billion people, what is our relationship with wild nature? He'll be at the Cincinnati Zoo tomorrow evening for the lecture, and recently the zoo's Thane Maynard spoke to Dr. Sanyon about his work.
Well, Sanyon, it's good to talk to you again.
Good speaking with you as well.
Now, what I've always been fascinated about in your work and your message is that, though I'm sure you care about, say, tigers or rhinos, your message is actually more about people, about how conservation can play a role in improving human well-being.
Right. So I got into this business because I am deeply in love with wild animals and wild places. I live in Montana because it's sort of fun for me to go for a walk in the woods when I know that there's something bigger than me with big, sharp claws and fangs that can kill me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I find that as I got into conservation, really started doing the work on the ground, it ultimately became much more about people. Because nature, in some ways, doesn't really need people. Like it has managed, you know, for millions and millions of years, and frankly, will manage just fine long after the human species is not recognizable anymore. But it's people that, frankly, need help. And I realized that conservation, in some ways, had to start thinking about the human dimension, because without that, you sort of almost come to study wildlife, but you realize that because people are the both the problem, but also the beneficiaries of a productive world, your mission turns towards people.
Absolutely. Now, I also know you have a new role. You're with Conservation International.
Right. So I spent 15 great years at the Nature Conservancy, you know, as their lead scientist, you know, traveling the world, traveling in the United States quite extensively. But then recently, just a few months ago, I joined Conservation International, which once upon a time, you know, split off from the Nature Conservancy and focuses mm-hmm. its work almost exclusively in sort of the international realm globally, and you know, and focuses essentially on in areas that are tropical and areas that have a lot of life and also have a lot of people who live very close to nature.
Mm-hmm. And CI has a great Indiana Jones sort of swagger, so it's a good fit.
It does. It has. It is quite literally so. You know, Russ Mittermeier has been with CI for a long time. He's sort of a scientist, adventurer, and explorer. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've got the Harrison Ford himself, you know, Mr. Indiana Jones himself, as our vice chair. So I'm in really great company at CI. I love the geography CI works in, you know, some of the most exciting and interesting places for conservation. And, you know, a few years ago, CI as well sort of changed its mission and focus to be, you know, in some ways very much put humans at the center of its mission. And for me, that resonated well with what I was trying to do.
So give us a little taste of the talk that you'll give when you're in Cincinnati, because I know you'll focus on that question of, can wild nature exist in a human-dominated world?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm gonna piggyback my talk at the Cincinnati Zoo on a television series that I've been doing for PBS National Geographic. And the working title is Earth, the New Wild. And this show, which I've been filming now for the last year and a half, has taken me to over 24, 25 countries around the world in search of an answer to a big question. In a world with 7 billion people, is there still room for wild nature?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, what does that relationship look like? What does that new covenant look like? And without giving too much away, you know, the answer really lies in how we view wild nature. If we see ourselves separate from nature, then I think it's doomed. But if we see ourselves as part of nature and the natural world, then I think there's a way forward. But it's an exciting journey. It took me to some amazing places and met some amazing people, from, you know, tagging sharks in the Florida Keys, to reindeer herders in Norway, to diving in Lake Malawi, to hanging out with pandas in China in the Wulan Mountains. In fact, I was there when the first female captive-born panda was released into the wild. and I had the front row seat for that. So it's a fantastic journey, and I can't wait to share that journey with our audience.
Absolutely, and a good way to get people excited about it, but also hit on big topics. I know in some of your other work, particularly the series Years of Living Dangerously, mm-hmm. You and others of your colleagues take on really tough issues like climate change, which is hard, I think, for many people to really get a grasp on.
Right. So the Years of Living Dangerously, you know, will air on Showtime, and it's a multi-part series that looks at climate change. I'm one of the contributors on it, as is Harrison Ford, and then a A-list cast of characters from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Matt Damon to Don Cheadle and Tom Friedman and so on and so forth. But the way we approached it is by telling a journey, telling stories about people who are experiencing climate change today in sort of the real world. It's not something out there in some distant land or some faraway time. It's happening right now, right in front of us. And it almost has a 60 minutes feel to it. It's sort of in that kind of style. Beautifully shot. I had a phenomenal journey on it. I went to the Andes in Chile and also to Christmas Island, the largest atoll on the planet. And my journey personally was incredible and fascinating. So I'm going to share probably a little bit about that, because obviously when you talk about conservation today, you can't talk about conservation without dealing with the elephant in the room, which is, of course, climate change.
You know, and it's fascinating. I've been in the wildlife business long enough that I can remember when even really lead scientists talked about the challenges being faced, you know, obviously such as human population growth, pollution, habitat loss. But it wasn't until the 1980s, even though climate change had been happening probably for the 100 years prior, it wasn't until 30 years ago that I think it was broadly discussed as a challenge for wildlife.
You're right. I think it's been, it's taken a while because it's got so many dimensions to it. So climate change alone isn't really the problem. It's the fact that it compounds everything else. I was talking, oddly enough, to a journalist this morning, and I was trying to sort of say that what climate change does, it makes bad things worse. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like MSG in cooking, you know, it just sort of intensifies the flavors. And so if you're going to have a storm, now you're going to have a really bad storm. If you're going to have a drought, now you're going to have an unending drought. And I think that sort of amping it up, that's where I really worry about the impact of climate change on humans, first and foremost, and then, of course, on the natural world. Because look, you know, a few million years ago, animals had a lot more room to roam. So if you were pushed out because of changing climate, you could migrate, you could move, you could seek refuge. Today, those options are cut off. And even the biggest populations of wildlife are still islands. And now we have a much harder job to make sure that, you know, we can have elk in the Rocky Mountains or Arctic grayling in the rivers of Montana.
And there are still beautiful places left. As you said, you live in Montana and right there in the lower 48, wild areas still. That said, we face daunting conditions right now. So give us your take as you think of, say, over the last 100 years. Obviously, things have advanced quite a bit, much for the good. 100 years from now, do you have hope for wild areas and wildlife?
The word is not hope. That's just, hope to me is sort of throwing it up in the air and just hoping, you know, hoping that you'll draw the dice, you know, hoping that something mm-hmm. will work, you know, that you catch a flight. I prefer a more deterministic future. So for me, the way I would frame it is we have all the opportunity in the world to shape our future. We're the first generation in human history who can actually glimpse our future with some confidence. And we still have just about enough time to do something about it. I actually think the next 10 to 15 years, maybe next 10 to 20 years, are going to be the most critical years in, frankly, the entire evolution of human history and the evolution of this planet while humans have been around. So in some ways, you can say the next, you know, our generation, you know, the next 20 years is going to be where the score is settled. And how we act now is going to determine the next 100 years. So the good news is we pretty much have a lot of the answers to our problems, and we have time right now to do something about it. The bad news is, you know, humans are very good at delaying things till it's almost too late.
Absolutely, and sometimes we don't play well with others or cooperate as we should.
Well, that's a big question, you know. Like, look, so from the zoo community to the conservation community to the political community, the business community, you know, the problems that are facing the planet right now are complex, interrelated problems. It really calls for a big tent, unified approach to trying to solve it. No one has the silver bullet. No one has the single answer. And everyone in some ways has to play a part. And that actually makes it a challenging thing. You know, in some ways in the old days, I mean, I love the simplicity of, you know, those loggers in the Amazon were bad, we were good, so don't buy, you know, tropical hardwood and let's stop the logging. It was such an easy definable kind of campaign. Today, the problems are really complicated, you know, overfishing in the Pacific, climate change, you know, drought, you know, the lack of water, over damming rivers up, or pollution. I mean, these are really complicated. Even poaching, even the poaching crisis. Think about what's going on with elephants and rhinos in Africa today. In one way, it's very simple, right? So stop the poaching, arm the guards, protect the animals, put fences up, and, you know, and draw a line in the sand. We can't do that for the drug war. What chance do we have for doing it with, you know, with wildlife in very poor countries? So then you start realizing it's a much more tricky problem. There's criminal syndicates involved. There's terrorists involved. There are huge governments and huge interests that are keen to keep it going. There's a massive demand in Asia. So once you start really piecing it together, you realize solving a problem like poaching of elephants and rhinos in Africa, the solution to it is complex, and it requires cooperation across countries, across governments, and, of course, across business interests.
Absolutely. And all of this has gotten me excited about your visit soon and for your lecture at the Cincinnati Zoo on May 14th. So, Sanyan, thanks for taking a few minutes. I'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Can't wait to share even more stories. And actually, you know what I really am looking forward to? Taking a walk through the zoo. It's a fantastic zoo. I know the cheetah exhibit that you guys have there is pretty world class, and I can't wait to actually take a peek.
Good. Well, thanks very much. See you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. My guest has been Dr. M. Sanyan, Executive Vice President of Conservation International. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
Been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Technical director for today's show was Rick Andrus. Producer was Pete Reitmeier with help from Jim Nolan. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. You can find archives and links for Cincinnati Edition stories at WVXU.org. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Here and Now on the way next on 91.7 WVXU.